I don't even know. I look for these songs. All I do is I just look for songs and then say, you know, what should I put at the beginning of this show? And then I just sit here scrolling through iTunes and going, boom, 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 boom. Tell me what you're gonna do when I ain't no man of hang.
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
talk it, God, so
hey, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful show for you. We've got a lot of stuff to cover today. I found out some shocking news about our president this week. My mom gave me a terrifying book that is giving me haunts in my dreams. I went to the post office. I cleaned my floor with Kool-Aid. And I'm trying out for a local radio station. So stay tuned for all that. Drinking coffee tonight. You might not have heard a beer thing. I figured, hey, it's 9 o'clock. I have to work tomorrow. I do not want to go to work tomorrow. But I had too many beers last night to continue drinking beers today. I went to I had some folks over. Ugh, this is a whole thing last night. All the things that happened. Some folks came over and that was good. Friends of the show. We went and, you know, I saw 5 different dogs because everyone's taking care of 5 or 6 to 12 dogs at the same time, you know, whether it's theirs or someone else's. Everybody seems to be real involved in the world of dogs. Can I just say something about dogs before going any further? Why do I keep seeing these reports about cops shooting dogs? You know that, like, every cop shoots some guy all the time, right? I mean, I'm not endorsing cops shooting dogs, but first of all, they're shitheads. Why are we surprised? And secondly, I mean, I don't know. I don't really care if a cop shoots a dog. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sure if I had a dog and pictured it being shot by a cop, I'd be pissed off. But someone else's dog? Fuck that. I mean, it's the way I feel about someone else's kid. I'm sure if it was my kid and got shot by the cops, I'd be upset. But, you know, someone else's kids. Who do I care? Anyway, welcome to our show. Last night, after the dogs, we decided to get some foods and some booze. We accidentally bought celebratory champagne. I just thought champagne would be fun, you know, and the guy was like, oh, are you guys celebrating or just, you know, whatever? And I was like, well, I mean, it's $8 of celebration. I almost bought some kind of a whiskey margarita mixture that sounded delicious. It was whiskey, Rocky Mountain water, cilantro, some other weeds of some kind, plants, a little bit of sugar, all that stuff mixed together. I mean, it was all things I recognized. I've come to understand this is a thing about food. If there are less than 12 things and you know all of them and what they look like in their natural form, you know, when someone says xanthan gum, someone will tell, I'll say, what is that? And someone will say, oh, it holds things together. And I'm like, I know, but what is it? If I saw a stick of xanthan gum, does that look like Juicy Fruit gum or Chiclets, or is it a some unholy thing that I would never even recognize, more than likely? So, you know, this I almost bought this, but then I picked it up and it had sediment at the bottom, and I'm not shy of that. You know, I've drank a weird juice from a Starbucks from time to time that has clotted shit at the bottom, but this looked the only way I could describe it was it looked like, from the color and the sediment, someone had not had diarrhea directly in the bottle, but had diarrhea in a truck stop toilet, and someone bailed out the toilet and put it. There was one just floating piece of diarrhea in this bottle that kind of really changed my mind. You know, and I was like, I don't know if I can shake this enough. Maybe if I put a bunch of ball bearings in it and shook it up, maybe then I'd be able to get it to a, down to a consistency that would be, you know, reasonable to drink. But, you know, no one else was going to drink it with me, so I went with the champagne, which turned out to be good because friend of the show Val got a promotion. So, you know, we ended up celebrating by accident. Anyway, so then we went and got some barbecue food, which is always a good idea. I, you know, had to make the tough choice between brisket and pulled pork, so I got one of each and ate till I was extremely full. So today, actually, I got a bunch of vegetables and stuff, so I listen, you know, those of you who know me know my favorite show, Red Bar Radio. And the host on there said he tried this thing, he was juicing this stuff in order to drink it, not because... And this philosophy makes sense to me. Not because it's like, you know, oh, juicing it unlocks whatever. It's more like, look, I couldn't eat this much vegetable in a lifetime, but if I can just slam a cup of it, perhaps I can get in some healthy foods at some point during the day. That made sense to me. So I followed this advice, and with my regular grocery storing, I bought, you know, I don't know, green shit, an apple, a carrot, all this crap, threw it in the blender, blended the shit out of it. I drank it. I've not been the same since. It smelled horrible. It smelled a little like the mojito I drank that was also turned out to be kind of a mistake, I think. I didn't like it. I don't approve. Pete is not amused by this, is what you need to know. But anyway, I did it. And, you know, the point is my gut hurts way more today in the last hour having drank that than it did from eating two huge barbecue sandwiches. So we'll see what happens. I'm predicting terrible diarrhea tomorrow morning, much like the Whiskey Rita thing I saw, but we'll see what happens. So we're in line at the barbecue place. It's about to close. There's one other couple in there. You know, real white trash looking. The lady's wearing a shirt that's from a state and says the name of the state on it, like shaped in cats or something like that. You know, it says Massachusetts in contorted cat bodies. Which, by the way, when they're contorted that much, they're cat corpses. You know, conveniently. That would be a cute shirt. Just take a picture of a bunch of cat corpses that say USA, but they're clearly dead. So she comes up to us and hands us this note. I have it with me here. This is a piece of paper. This is not a sticky note. This is clearly cut. It's a trapezoid. It's not a square. And it says, Barry Sotoro in pen, and then below that, Indonesia, all caps in permanent marker. She hands this to Nicanor, and she says, you know, hey, this is a, take this and Google it when you get home. And he says, what is it? You know, and she says, it's information that everyone should need to have. And because he's Nicanor, and what's so great about him is then he says, why? And the rest of us are standing there like, just happy that he took the sheet of paper. Because, you know, then you're like, oh my God, I don't want to touch something that lady touched. You know, but she just blew it off with something like, just look it up and you'll see, you know. So we all are leaving the place thinking, ah, shit, what is this going to be? You know what I mean? I had no idea. A weird name and then the country Indonesia? I mean, why do we know? I don't know. I'm more interested in Micronesia just because that sounds like a perfect plot from a show, or it sounds like a land in Super Mario World. You go to Micronesia, that's where you're five times bigger than the Koopa Troopas. So we get back and look it up immediately. You know what I mean? Against our better instincts. And of course, it turns out to be a thing about how Barack Obama is not an American. Apparently, he did something in Indonesia or adopted father. I didn't even really read it. Because I'm thinking, you know, I have a feeling, what did that lady think was going to happen? We were going to go home and look up this name she just scrawled on a card in her crazy writing. And then be like, holy shit. And then we were going to start the revolution. We're going to come back and find her there next week and say, I was hoping you'd be here. Where do we start? You know, how many guns do we need? I mean, I don't give a flying. I don't care if he is from Indonesia, to be honest. What do I care? I mean, who? It doesn't fucking matter. Some guy from America fucks it up, then some guy from Indonesia fucks it up. This is the American way. This is the dream that we've all been chasing down, running down the dream. So anyway, that was that, you know. We had a champagne. Took Val about 10 hours to open it. You know, I don't know, and then almost blew up my apartment. I think champagne may be over and under carbonated. Because with this champagne, it's like you open it, and you pour it, and then it, you know, foams up and almost comes spilling out the top of the glass, and you have to do that embarrassing thing where you hang out your upper lip like a vacuum and slurp up the, you know, it's not very professional. Especially because, you know, I don't know, you're at a wedding or something doing that, you look like an asshole. So, you know, I do that move. But then the champagne after 5 minutes isn't bubbly anymore. It's called bubbly, and it loses its bubble after 5 minutes? That's fucking ridiculous. I don't know. There's something wrong with the champagne, the ratios here, I have to say. So then we, you know, the night goes on, and some leave, some stay, and we ended up at a bridal shower. Now, this is not a bachelorette party, but it is. Allow me to explain. There will be a bachelorette party. However, this was the bridal shower, which I'm told is the classy version. Although when we got there, I think this was the after party of the bridal shower, you could say, where everyone's just getting wasted. So we end up going to that, and there's karaoke going on, which is, you know, I hate karaoke. And I think it's because there are basically two kinds of people who do karaoke. Three. One, people who are really good at singing, and they get up there and do that. But you know what? Watching someone sing really well isn't very exciting. There's this guy who sang, I don't even know what it was, and he was a fine singer. I have no complaints, but it was boring. You know, and halfway through, I'm thinking, this song has been going, I think, my entire life. I don't know that I've been alive at a time when this song wasn't happening. Is that a feeling you guys feel, that just a song starts and then you don't even remember the start of it anymore? It's like, it would be the same if you heard a song, you know, you walk into a place and a song is playing, then you feel like you went to bed for 12 hours and wake up and the song is still sort of just going, just winding up to the big guitar solo or something. Okay, that's number one. Number two is people who think they're really good at singing, but they're really not. You know what I mean? Those people might be the worst because, you know, they finish and you can see in their eyes that they want you to approve and accolade all that stuff. But you're just like thinking, man, fuck, that was terrible. And I hated it. And I don't want to encourage this activity because I don't want to listen to it again. I don't know if I could take it. I'm a delicate man. I can't just be listening to singing all the time. Without, you know, some ill effects are going to take place if that happens. Believe me, I can't survive forever on that plan. Then there's the people who just aren't good and don't care, and they just get up there and kind of yell into a microphone, which are terrible at first, but then, you know, as you get loaded, they're okay. This was at a bar that next door had, you had to walk through this other, I don't know if it's a different spot or the same bar, the dance club version. Scariest place I've ever been. It basically was a bunch of dudes sitting at a bar looking very angry. And whenever you went in there, I think they were hoping you were going to be the hot babe who was going to come and dance with everybody. Because when you walked in, they give you this look like, where are the girls? What the fuck's going on? Why am I here? Why are they not here? You know, just pissed. No one's having fun. Holding a beer so tight that the glass would break. Although the beers at this place were these plastic cups that were so light, I was afraid that the glass would just vanish and the beer would cascade down my hand onto the floor, which would have been fine. At one point, someone we were there with, you know, went outside to, I guess, vomit. And then they were saying, you know, she can't come back in here. Which was hilarious, because at the same time, there was a beer-chugging contest going on at the front of the room. So, you know, I could really see why they didn't want someone like that bringing down the atmosphere. We're trying to have a beer-chugging contest up here, okay? We can't just have somebody drunk out there, you know. I mean, Nicanor, good chugger, made like 3 rounds. He probably drank like 4 beers in a half hour because he was killing it at this chugging contest. He's a hero. You know what? He's a man of the people. I'll tell you what, that Nicanor. But, you know, everyone's getting shit-faced up there, and meanwhile, and you could win prizes. I don't know what the prizes were. That wasn't very clear. Yeah, you know, and of course, this was another thing that happened. You know, one of these girls got drunk and fell out of the booth on the floor. I feel like when girls get real drunk, they end up on the floor a lot. Or maybe certain kind of girls, but, I mean, I don't see a lot of dudes. The dudes that I've seen on the floor are passed out. You know, I saw one guy on the floor once, and he was basically drooling vomit onto, you know, the carpet or whatever. But incoherent. I don't see a lot of falling down but cackling and laughing kind of thing. You don't see a lot of dudes fall over, and you're like, oh my God, just saw your underwear. Good. That's what I was hoping to see. So anyway, that was the long night that prevented me from having beers, you know what I mean? And then my mom comes over to take me to breakfast this morning. So, you know, she's first thing we get outside my apartment, and I visibly shrank at the sight of the sun. And she's like, oh, are you sick? And I'm like, no. Kind of just left it at that. Because, I mean, sorta not. I don't know, I wish that when I was drunk, I just slept. You know, when I'm drunk, I wake up, sweat. I start thinking about weird shit, you know? I'm like, I gotta turn my life around, you know? And then I always wake up at 8 a.m. too if I'm been drinking. I mean, I woke up... If my mom takes me to breakfast at 10 on a Sunday, it's usually a production for me on the level of, you know, can't fucking believe I gotta get up this early. You know, and I barely make it out of bed before she gets there. Putting on my clothes. No shower, none of that shit. This time I was showered. I was ready to go. But, you know, I still got the are you sick thing. Don't ask people if they're sick, by the way. That's not a nice thing, unless you're sure. I mean, if they look like someone from the fucking Benadryl commercial or the NyQuil shit, where it's like the nose is bright red like a clown and their eyes are sunk down below the level of their nostrils, and they're just like, I'm sick, then feel free to say, oh man, are you all right? But, you know, if I just squint at the sun and sound like I have a shitty voice, don't, you know, I'm your fucking son. Give me a break. Cut me some slack already, lady. You know, it's like a Sunday thing, too. I did some cleaning around here today. That's always a favorite hobby. I think I have a problem because, you know, a couple years ago we had some ants in my apartment. This was a bad thing. Ants are a problem because one intrepid ant will just cross the galaxy looking for I don't even know what, you know? He'll just walk around. He seems to know where he's going. You know, I don't see a lot of ant just walk and then turn around and go back the same way. It's not like watching me play fucking Zelda where I have no goddamn idea on the planet what I could possibly do. They seem to have some sort of productive purpose and reason to live. So it's very much not like watching me in any way. But, you know, so we, I did the poisons and the sprays and sealed up around the baseboards where I figured they were getting in. But they're back, baby. And they're back in 2 spots. In the kitchen, which I get. That's where their food is. That would be the place I would go if I was an ant. Because as far as I can tell... I mean, I'm half ant in that food is one of the few things in my life that I still sort of enjoy. So I can imagine if I was an actual ant... Once I got over the idea that it's like, I could just walk straight up the fucking wall. This is awesome. And, you know, I live in a weird lair underground, which would be really sweet, except for then, you know, some other guys coming the other way in the ant hole. And you're just like, God damn it. we should make these hallways a little wider and not pitch black so I don't just get stepped on by some shithead. I mean, they probably step right on each other's eyes, you know? Probably a lot of blinded ants who just get their eyes stepped on and they're like, well, fuck, I guess that's what happens. I live in pitch darkness anyway. What are you going to do? You know, so these explorers are everywhere. But yeah, once I got over being blind and climbing up walls, I think food would be the only thing in my life as an ant. But I mean, it's kind of that way as a human, so maybe it's not that special of a distinction that I'm making here. So I get the kitchen, but they also have made their way into the bathroom. And almost every morning I'd come out, see two in there, just wandering. I'm thinking, oh shit. Then there's one in the toilet, the goddamn toilet. You know, in the bowl, down in it. I mean, that ant, in a way, is the worst and the best ant of all time. Because if I'm the queen, I'm thinking, all right, this guy, I mean, what was he going to bring back? A piece of shit? A log of shit or some urine that he somehow crystallized? You know, he's like, I brought back a salty pea crystal. What's that? Oh, it's just the waste from another creature. That's perfect for us because we're ants. We have very low standards. But on the other hand, he is exploring the depths. You know what I mean? He is taking on the challenge of the ant like nobody's business. He's not just fucking around out there. He's really going after it. You know, all the other ants are saying, that's the toilet, that's where shit goes. But he says, hey man, if we've not explored the toilet before, now's the time. Let's do this. I'm an ant. I'm not afraid, you know. But I was thinking, I'm wondering too, because it's goddamn March. We just had a blizzard. It was mid-blizzard when these ants started showing up. I don't know what ants do in the winter, but that's what they should be doing now, not invading my apartment. You know what I mean? I mean, now I know that's what they do, but they should be doing whatever the fuck they do all winter. I mean, do they just infest bears? I feel like maybe the winter coat of a bear is just live ants that also sleep and just hang on to a hair, and then when the bear wakes up, they all just scatter. That would be a fearsome creature to wake up. You know, you have a pissed off bear, and then you're covered in ants getting killed by a bear. That would be pretty bad. There was actually, I just watched this episode of Sons of Anarchy where this guy, I don't know, he fucks around with people, so they bury him in the ground up to his head, and then he's covered in ants, and they're just going to leave him there till he dies from, I don't know, the ants or starvation or something. It was fucked up, and then when I was watching the show, I was like, oh man, that would blow, and then I started thinking, I wish they hadn't done that in this show, because I would have never thought of that until just now, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have thought of the stark reality of being buried up to your neck and then just being covered in ants for 4 or 5 days, you know? And then they do it on this show, and I'm like, is that really necessary? I think I could have watched this show without that happening. I probably could have enjoyed the exploits of these motorcyclists without seeing a man covered in sores and ants going in and out of said sores. It's also got to be a bitch when you're on set that day, and they're like, yeah, we're going to bury you today. All right. It's going to take a couple hours, even if it's a fake burial, I would think. So I think, though, that what happened with the ants is I've been using this floor cleaner. It's called, like, Fantastico or Magnifico or something like that. One of those words that's in Spanish that are also in English, you know, where I don't know who ripped off who, but it's like we have Magnificent and you have Magnifico. We have fantastic and fantastico. I mean, give me a fucking break. That is literally, you just added an O on the end. You know what I mean? That's what I did in Spanish in school. How do you say backpack? Backpacko. Oh, sorry. El backpacko. You know. It's pretty fucking lazy. But I bought it because it was on sale. The first time I bought it, I am not kidding. I poured it into this bucket and it looked scrumptious. It's the only way I could describe it. It was this beautiful blue color. Whenever you see a picture of an island, you know, and it's got a beautiful blue sea out there, that was the color of this, and it smelled almost like Kool-Aid. I thought I was going to be doing a podcast with somebody else that night, and I poured some into a glass and covered it with a cloth because I was going to reveal it and have them guess what this liquid was. You know, what do you think this liquid is? And I would be goddamn shocked if someone said floor surface cleaner. So I used that bottle and I bought a second one. This one's purple and more transparent. I thought that was a more serious thing. This smelled like Kool-Aid. I am almost positive that what I did was wash my floor with Kool-Aid, which I think is perhaps what attracted the ants. And if so, I mean, kind of my fault. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying, in a way, it's like saying, you know, oh, I dressed that way, so I got raped by ants. But that's not what I'm saying, but it is a little bit what I'm saying. I brought it on myself. I cannot blame them as much for investigating. And the reason I'm thinking that is because where did they come in? The bathroom and the kitchen. Where did I use that stuff? The bathroom and the kitchen. So this time I switched back to the sweet chemical burn of Pine Sol. So we'll see if these fuckers, see how they like that crazy black lady who likes the Pine Sol. Speaking of black people spokesman, I got in this conversation the other day. It started off with Mavis Beacon, who no one seemed to know, who teaches typing. You know, and I found out she's not a real lady. She's a conglomeration or a, you know, it's a... She's like the Domino's Noid, except instead of making this weird rabbit man who's clearly not real, they made a black woman with a short haircut, basically Lieutenant Daniel's wife from The Wire. You know, and then it's like, how are you supposed to know that that's not a real person? Why would I ever think? And they're like, oh, you know what we really need is a mascot who teaches typing. How about a secretary-like black woman? That perfect, named Mavis Beacon. That sounds great. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I could tell that was fake immediately. But then I got to thinking about breakfast. Because there are some of these, you know, Uncle Ben Minute Rice, right? Uncle Ben is a black guy, which I always get confused too when, you know, someone calls someone an Uncle Tom, like that kind of thing. They should start calling him an Uncle Ben. You know, oh, you fucking Uncle Ben and your Minute Rice and shit. But then I started thinking breakfast, okay? Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth. So black people own pancakes for breakfast and waffles, which is weird because I've never thought of that as being a traditionally black food. And then you get into cream of wheat. Now, I brought up this cream of wheat guy. I'm like, what about that chef on the cream of wheat? And, you know, everyone gave me a look and I said, look him up. That's a real guy. I promise you there is a black guy on that thing, you know, smiling, saying like, you are going to enjoy this cream of wheat. I'm sorry for using these voices, but this is all I know how to do. And I'm sure that these people are so long ago, they're just caricatures. Anyway, so there is a black guy in the cream of wheat. Not only is he a black guy, but then we look him up online and find out he is a real guy, supposedly. And they had a picture of his grave where he's buried. And his name is Mr. White. I mean, they did it. Mr. White, the black guy from Cream of Wheat. Not only that, but supposedly on his grave is an engraving of the box art from Cream of Wheat, of him, you know, what he looked like. Which got me to thinking, I mean, that's a weird tribute for your dead friend, right? Oh yeah, they based this weird shit cereal mascot guy, you know, I mean, whoever was the voice of Tony the Tiger probably is not thinking, oh yeah, put there, he was great on my grave, you know. You could just do something respectful, that would be fine for me. It got me thinking, though, it would be a lot funnier if it turned out that that was not the guy at all. In fact, it was a horrible white supremacist, you know, and his buddies were thinking, it would be real funny. If we got like a engraving of a black guy in his grave, every time his family comes here, they see this black guy. He hated black guys. this is going to be hilarious. You know, so they convince the guy who makes the gravestones. Oh, yeah, this is our black friend. You know Cream of Wheat? He's the Cream of Wheat guy. So with that in mind, you know, I just wanted to, I think, say all that to be like, I didn't start it. I didn't start the race war, but I will probably contribute to it. I was at a thing. I had to see this speech, and a man mentioned offhandedly that Oprah was going to go into space. I don't really know why he said that or what he was talking about. I wasn't really listening. However, when he said Oprah in space, that captured the imagination. You know, I couldn't help but think about all the possibilities for Oprah in space, what could happen up there, all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, I'd like to present what I like to call my version of the show, Oprah in Space.
I'm here to laugh, fucking drink.
Hey everybody, this is Oprah. Welcome to my new show, Oprah in Space. Today I'm going to teach you how to eat a lipstick without throwing up. Then we will talk to the author of The Road, Cormac McCarthy, who's going to come in and tell us about his newest book, which is about something about the South and people getting murdered in terrible ways. After that, I'm going to show you what zero gravity does to my breast and how you can sleep in a sleeping bag that's taped to the wall in space! As you never heard my name. 5 years old, I live half mass. Bedtime is 8 p.m. is half past. Try to take me to bed. Okay, that's Oprah in space, everybody. I hope you love that. I don't know why that made me. You know, I have this problem. I have to say, every person I've ever really known, or especially people I've dated, you know, will always tell me. I'll say something and, you know, they'll say, like, you really crack yourself up, don't you? You know, they'll say something like that. And I think that's supposed to be not a good thing. You know, if you make yourself laugh, like I'm doing Oprah in space, nobody else is laughing, but I can't stop. But I say fuck that shit. I like Oprah in space. I think it's funny. I don't know. I mean, what else am I going to do? Who am I going to be funny for? Whose definition of funny am I going to follow, goddammit? I don't know what you think is funny, but do that on your podcast. I'll do what I think is funny on my podcast. How about that? And, you know, when your podcast is extremely successful and mine is written up in a high school newspaper for being extremely racist, you know, and it's like a headline like, host under fire and a picture of me with a cigarette, then I guess we'll know who was right and who was wrong, won't we? I needed to talk about the post office briefly. I went to the fucking post office to email my brother, or to email. To mail my brother some video games. So I went there one day, and the line was from goddamn the counter all the way to the door. There are two sets of doors, an in and out. I went in. Almost hit the person with the door as I was entering because the line was so fucking long, and immediately spun 180 and went out the outdoor. So I said, fuck that, and just left. I literally said, fuck that, and just left because I knew that was never going to happen. Everyone's telling me, you know, go. They have a machine there. You can do self-service. You love self-service. You hate people. And I say, I'm aware of this. However, the self-service machine prints off gigantic labels. The label is about the size of William the Refrigerator Perry's entire head, which is real fucking big, in case you didn't know him and could not guess from the nickname William the Refrigerator Perry. The envelopes I'm sending him are not as large as William the Refrigerator Perry's head. They are, you know, maybe more like his hand, which is also very large, but not large enough. So I have to go up to the counter. So I go back, you know, 3 days later, and going to the post office is like when I see a parent going into, you know, Starbucks with their kid, who's maybe one, I have to bring all these accessories just because I know I'm going to be bored and antsy and pissed off. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, do I have my phone? Do I have my iPod? It took me an extra week probably to email this shit because I was headed to the post office this one day and I was thinking, I don't have my phone. I don't have my iPod. What am I going to do while I'm standing there? I'll just be wanting to kill. You know, I'll just be thinking about killing. How the different ways, the different methods, what would be the most fun, what would be the most effective, and where's the midpoint between these two things that we could find and be happy together? So I continue on. And I, you know, I'm going through the line looking at all their stupid fucking pamphlets they have. By the way, post office. Okay, they canceled their Saturday delivery. That's fucking fine. But clearly they need Saturday office hours because everyone's fucking in there all the time. But number two, why can't the stamps just be good forever? I mean, if I buy a 49-cent stamp, can't that just be counted as good? Will be good. I mean, just limit the number people can buy. You can only buy one book a day. That's fine. That's plenty of fucking stamps for anybody. I'm not buying any more 1-cent stamps. That is not going to happen. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's my mom's ashes and I'm shipping them to her final resting place. If they say, oh, just add a 1-cent stamp, I'll uncap the thing and blow it in their face so the dust hurts and stings their eyes and be like, you know, this was not my mom's final wish, but I think she would approve. But I also noticed they had this new service they had a little pamphlet for, you know, and it says, every door direct mail retail. Let the neighbors know your business. Reach every address surrounding your business with every door direct mail retail service for as low as 14.5 cents per postage rate. You know, and it's got this great Google Maps looking thing with these street names like Effective Avenue, Success Drive, Easy Route, Opportunity Lane. I mean, give me a break. Effective Avenue? Who was going to live? Effective Avenue sounds like the street that they always have. You know, they always have these bullshit streets running through software or like a Hewlett-Packard factory. And it's always called like Opportunity Drive, you know. I mean, Effective Avenue is either a tech company's invented street, you know, that is patrolled by their own security and shit. Or it's like the worst ghettoist street in Harlem. It's going to be one or the other. That's what that is. But basically what this service is, I've discovered what this service is, and here's what it is. You invent a piece of mail, but instead of having to mail it to people, you just tell the post office, here's where I'm centered, and pass these out to every fucking house. So basically, you're using the post office as your junk mail delivery service, which people were doing before, but you at least had to do the effort of putting an actual address on that. I mean, feeding a phone book into a database or something like that. Now you don't have to do that anymore. You just have to give them a bunch of shit, and they put it somewhere, you know. I hate it. I'm so upset that this is what our post office has come to. And you know what I've decided, too? Advertising helpfulsnowman.com, which I hope you all do at some point. Here's how I'd like people to do that. Rather than, you know, me doing any kind of work to make a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or a, you know, a bumper sticker that you could stick on top of a Fox Racing bumper sticker that turns it into a snowman in some way. That would actually be kind of great. Or a Jesus fish, and it transforms it into a snowman poking a dead bird with a stick somehow. Instead of doing that, I would like you to do this. Take an average 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and cut it into small squares about the size that fits perfectly in the palm of your hand, a little bigger than a matchbook, let's say. Uneven, lines not straight. This is key. Then write the word helpful snowman on there and then awkwardly hand it to people at a barbecue place. This is how we're going to get famous. Because I'm telling you, and if you could dress shitty and be really scary, that would help too. Because I am telling you, when this happened to me, when I was victimized by this form of advertising for this Barry Sotoro Indonesia, I was curious. There was no way I was not going to Google that shit. It happened. Oh, it happened like hell. You know, how could you help yourself? How could you not look that up? Anyone in their right fucking mind is going to look that up. And their wrong mind. I mean, that's where I was at. And here we are. So yeah, do that, please. Make these little slips, hand them out to people, and don't say anything about what it is. Just say it's vital information. That's all they need to know. They'll look it up. They'll be real confused about what... They'll be even more confused once they find it. That's the real great part, I think. So, you know, then you get up to the fucking... the desk, the window, the vortex of hate that is the counter at the post office. And, you know, some person is up there who's just like... I feel like every post office employee is burned out. And they're just thinking, you know, all right, if I can just survive 48 more years, I could probably retire on a beach somewhere. You know, my diabetes is raging, spectacularly out of control. My life is a complete mess. I hate everything about everyone. And all I do all day is think about how stupid people are. But if I could just hold out for what is 15 years beyond my life expectancy, I'm going to make it. You know, so then I have these three packages. Now, each one in it has a video game, average price that I paid $8. You know, so she's putting them on, and then she has to say do you want any insurance on this, you know, for $2? And I'm thinking, I mean, why? What's the insurance going to do? I'm like, no, you know, and do you want delivery confirmation, which is, you know, oh, do you want to force someone to sign for this? Which I considered because I thought that would be fun to just force my brother to sign for something. Or, you know, if they have some kind of service where they hold it at the post office for some reason, that would be really cool. But, you know, they have all this extra services that are not services. It's bullshit. This is like, you know, used to go to Hollywood Video. And they would say, do you want to get play protection for an extra dollar? And I'd say, what's play protection? And they say, well, if the disc is scratched or whatever, you can return it and get another one, you know, free of charge. To which I said, if this doesn't work, I will bring it back and get another one. That's happening. Yeah, I know that's not your rule, but believe me, that's what's going to happen. I have no doubt in my mind that that's where we're going to end up. So then I ship it out, and I get the longest receipt I've ever seen in my life. If you wrap this receipt around the world, it would go all the way around the world and then back. You know what I mean? I could probably hold this end, wrap it around the earth, and just have the other end just tuck ever so gently into my ass as after it had made its circumnavigation of the globe. It would go just ever so delicately and lightly into the crack of my ass. You know, it would lose just a little bit of length from doing that slight 90-degree twist. But, you know, there'd still be enough left. Still enough left to just get a good grip in the ass there. Fucking hate the post office, man. I think it's the worst place I've ever been. Probably where you've ever been to. So we have a local radio station here, KUNC. This is an NPR affiliate. And I think they're, you know, we had a discussion about, you know, whether or not I could try out for them. How that even works. How do you, you know, I mean, I don't have any experience in this realm. You know what I mean? But I was thinking, you know, I could do that. I could be on that show. I could do that shit. How hard could it be? So I was thinking maybe what I would do is do some tryouts here. See what you guys think. So should we do a little bit of a, you know, NPR tryout? So here we go. This is tryout number one. Steve, can you roll tape? This is all I could think that they might play, that I would have. good morning. Thanks for calling in to NPR. Listening to NPR. Fuck. Fucking shit. You're listening to NPR. 89.5 KUNC, 61.5 Denver Boulder, 21 million Vail Minturn. We've got a lot of big stories for you today. Coming in at the top of the charts of stories, something happened in Israel that we'd really like to talk about. We're going to get on the phone with some guy who you've heard of that's going to tell us all about what happened in Israel, and I'm going to act concerned about that. We've also got a little selection here of music that you've never heard of and doesn't seem to have instruments in it. And following that, you know, probably something that Ira Glass did. So enjoy that, fucker. This is KUNC. I just wanted everyone to know that I was sitting here thinking that I could be lightly stroking my own thigh this whole time and no one would know. But I'm not doing that because I respect you as listeners. I'm not like local podcasters who have no respect for their listeners and have no reason to respect them. I do have respect. I'm a good man. I own pets. I own children. I have a wife who I do not own. And I make a very big point about not owning my wife because I believe in things like not owning other humans. Okay? And I feel very guilty about slavery. You're listening to NPR. You're listening to NPR. Today's top story by Terry Gross, narrated for you by Carl Castle, is going to be about some shit that went down in a beehive. Where are all the bees going? Who the fuck knows? You'll notice that our field reporter has a real boner for bees, as you might say. I'm going to turn it over to Tom, who's out there with the bees. How's it going, boner boy? Tell us what you've got for us today. Okay, that's my NPR tryouts, everybody. You're welcome for that. I'm sure that was a very educational chapter for you, for all of you. See, there you go. I really crank myself up, don't I? I wanted to play a game that I thought would be a lot of fun for the listeners at home. Here's what I did. If you get on the Internet Movie Database, you can find parental guides written for almost any movie by just apparent laymen. And I say that because the range of things in the parental guides is extremely widespread. You know, it's unbelievably difficult to categorize everything. So what I've done is I printed out some of the parental guides for these movies. And without telling the movie, I'd like to read some of the things that happen in the movie. And the first person to tweet me the guess, what should they get? I don't know. I'll do a special snowman art for them and put it up on the website. You know, so you'll just have to send me a first name or a screen name and I'll draw a custom shitty snowman saying, "Good job, fucker, you did it." Something like that. So if you tweet me, email me, or whatever I get first, Facebook, whatever I get first, you will win that fabulous prize. You know, or just tell me. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's even going to listen. We're almost an hour into this show, so, you know, times are tough. And no fair looking it up, okay? You just have to know what it is. So let's start with an easy one here. This one doesn't have too many. However, I think as we get towards the end, they are very telling in what they are. So here we go. My thing's all fucked up. So if you know this movie, let me know that you know, and you'll get that fabulous prize. Here we go. This is already great. A 9-year-old boy is run over by a steamroller. The normal version shows him being run over with no blood, but the rare unrated edition shows his head exploding. In either version, his death is very clearly seen on camera and is very disturbing. Now, here's what's funny about this. That's the first one that I'm going to read, okay? This is a parental warning. Now, I could see, yes, watching a boy be run over feet first to head, and it's, you know, like a tube of toothpaste, and it's pushing all the juices into his head until his head explodes. I could see how some people may find that image to be bothersome. You know, I can acknowledge that there's something there, some kernel of that experience, that would be a little difficult to watch. However, let's look at the next one. A character smokes a huge cigar throughout the entire film. Now, these two warnings are on the same page. What I don't understand about these warnings, and this is a theme that runs through all of them, what parent says, all right, I'm cool with a steamroller running over this guy until his head explodes, a 9-year-old boy, no less. That seems fine. Then when you switch over to, a character smokes a huge cigar. Oh, fuck yourself. There's no, not my kid. No way in hell. Nice try. You know what? Everyone's always fucking with me trying to get that to happen. No way, you know? All right, let's see what else we've got. In the uncut version, a dead man is shown with a chainsaw in his neck. Next, this is one of my favorites too, is the exactitude and cataloging of these sorts of things. 19 F-bombs and derivatives, including motherfucker, fuckface, fuckorama, etc. I like that, you know, motherfucker, okay, fuckface, all right. Fuckorama. I mean, etc. You know, the normal things people say. Motherfucker, fuckface, fuckorama. No, no, no. Fuckorama should be the etc. Motherfucker and fuckface are in there. Fuckorama is its own beast, my friend. 14 uses of shit and derivatives, including bullshit, shithead, shit for brains, etc. 1 use of the words pussy, dickweed, cock, and vagina, and many uses of words like hell, damn, ass, etc. I mean, is someone tallying these? Has someone made a grid that explains all of this stuff? That's what I'd like to know. All right, what else do we have here? A man in a ditch screams for help. This is when the clues start really coming in. We then hear one final scream and a truck horn. It is implied he was run over by a semi-truck off screen. Are your brains tingling just yet? A bloody corpse is seen. The corpse is completely mangled and barely looks human. We later see that the body was run over by a lawnmower. Uncut version only. And finally, this one's the dead giveaway. If you've seen this, this is what separates the men from the boys. I'm not sure if men or boys watch this movie. Probably boys, mostly. But at any rate, a man is killed when a soda machine shoots a can at his head. Blood is seen on his head. I mean, this is great. If you have not seen this movie, you know, feel free to just say fuck the contest and look it up. I'll try to remember to announce it next time, so that we can talk about this film and you guys can all enjoy it. But if you do know the movie, let me know that you know, and you know, we'll make sure and get you that fabulous prize. Well, I think we did it today, guys. I think we covered the problems of the world, the problems of Pete in the world, as a guy who's in the world. Thanks for listening. Thanks for emailing. I have some emails to get to. Fuck. Next time. Thanks for tweeting. Thanks for retweeting. Thanks for liking on Facebook. Thanks for doing everything that you guys do that gives me some modicum of hope to continue in the future. And, you know, keep that gun out of my mouth one more day. That's all I ask. All I ask is that you make up for all the love that I did not receive because I had no father. you know, you don't have to buy anything from me. Just make me feel like a person of value. That should be pretty simple. So thanks for doing that. And I will catch you guys on the flip. Oh, fuck that. Fuck you.
Lonely are the free. Silent are the strong. Not so much as a whisper tells you anything is wrong. You've known all along, but you can't help but listen. And now the moment's gone.